Environmental responsibility is an issue on everybody's radar these days, and this month in Wired magazine, Clive Thompson describes a new way for energy consumers to be aware of their consumption. It is an orb. It is awesome. Clive, welcome back.
Good to be here.
Now, this is about ambient technology. Tell me what that means.
Well, ambient technology is a way of delivering information in a more calming way. The idea arose about 10 years ago in response to the fact that computers, particularly computers, were becoming much more stressful because they had so many sources of information that they're forcing you to stare at. There's email and there's browsers and now there's YouTube and all this stuff. And so people were getting sort of drowned in all the information that they had to stare at. And the idea was, well, maybe we should try and take some information and just sort of put it in the periphery of your eye span, as it were, you know, so that it's something you sort of glance at every once in a while. You don't have to stare at it.
Like a wall clock or a thermometer?
Precisely. A wall clock is a classic piece of ambient information because even though you're not really aware of ever looking at it, you always generally know what time it is. And so it's a non-stressful source of information. And it turns out that when they do studies, they find that ambient information, people actually retain it, sometimes even better than they do the stuff that they're staring at.
Now comes the orb, which is a new medium. Tell me about the history of the orb, and then we can talk about this current application.
Well, the orb is the invention of a guy named David Rose. He's got a company called Ambient Devices. And his idea was, okay, let's try taking important information off the computer screen and into the periphery of your attention. And he wanted a little beautiful thing that would be sort of pleasant to have sitting in the corner of your desk. And so he thought of a glowing orb. And his first application, and everyone loved this, was that you would set it to monitor your stock portfolio so that it would glow green or whatever if you know, you could pick the color. It would glow green if things were going well, and it would slowly darken to purple or whatever if your stock portfolio was going down. And so the idea being that you would sort of generally know whether or not your financial health is being taken care of without having to go to E-Trade, you know, five times a day or whatever and look at your portfolio. And it really worked. It turned out when they did studies, they found that people were about, like, I'm sketchy on the exact amount, but it's around like 30 or 40% more likely to do active trading, you know, once every month or so if they had an orb because they could see, wait a minute, something's wrong with my portfolio.
It's a way to synthesize a lot of information just with a color spectrum.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did the orb come to be embraced for energy consumption?
What happened was that an engineer at a Californian energy firm decided to see if he could hack people's perceptions to make them a little more aware of their energy usage by using orbs. And what he did was he basically bought about 1,000 of these orbs and put them in people's houses and configured them so that they would glow different colors based on whether or not the grid was being really stressed, if it was really being overused at total capacity, you know, it would glow red or whatever. And if the grid was actually not being used, it would glow green or whatever. The idea being that people would sort of have a sense of what the energy environment around them was like, and they would react accordingly. They would turn things off when energy was getting overstressed and too expensive, and they would save themselves money. And they would save, you know, their energy usage for when it was, you know, glowing green and things were less stressed. And sure enough, the same thing happened. People actually very effortlessly started changing their energy usage habits, and they conserved a lot more energy because they had suddenly they had information about what was going on around them.
Now, in your piece in Wired, yeah, you actually wrote about a second stage of awareness, and that is when your awareness isn't a closely held secret, but your own energy consumption is made available to a larger audience. Tell me how that works.
It's called the Sentinel effect. If you let other people know what you're doing, their scrutiny will sort of freak you out, and you'll try and do better, as it were. So if everyone were able to imagine like a world where like I've got my little energy orb or whatever, but it broadcasts, you know, through my blog or my website to all my friends, Clive's energy usage of the last week was, you know, up 20% or down 10%. You can sort of imagine this is very quickly take on like almost like a social virus type effect where people would be almost actively reducing even more of their energy usage so they won't look like a complete energy glutton in front of their friends, you know? It would have a really wonderful social effect. There's already a little experiment like this happening. Over in Britain, there's this cool company that have created this thing called the Watson, and it's sort of like a little glowing brick. It does the same thing as the orb. It glows different colors based on your energy usage. But the really cool thing is it's networked to the internet. So it feeds that information online if you want it to, and you can go online and you can compare yourself with other Watson users and see who's reduced the most energy. And the other cool thing is you can see sort of how much in total all the Watson users have saved. That to me is really interesting, because one of the problems with personal conservation is that it feels like it's just a drop in the bucket. Like, why am I bothering to turn off this light? It's not going to do anything. Whereas if you could go online and see that a million people had all turned off a light and you just saved 100 megawatts, or the equivalent of 24 hours functioning of one coal-fired plant, that would really start to feel much more exciting, and you'd be more likely to turn off that light.
Way cool. Clive, thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Clive Thompson writes about technology. His piece about the orb appears in the August issue of Wired magazine. That's it for this week's show. On the Media, it was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Vuolo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, who is getting married this weekend, and edited this week by me. Dylan Keefe is our technical director, and Jennifer Munson, our engineer. We had help from Andrea Ambrose and Madeline Elish. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl. Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org, and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. Brooke will be back in 2 weeks. I'm Bob Garfield.
On the Media is supported by the Bydell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.